Grace is glory begun, Jonathan Edwards, a famous preacher, had said, and glory is but grace perfected. Whatever begins with God, grace will lead to God's glory. 1 Peter 5:10 puts it this way, but the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, that's quite a theological statement to start with, and hopefully it's not going to end up like that for the rest of this message. So before I read this morning's text, I want to make sure nobody has anything to throw at me. Well, you can't, because I'm sitting here with Tom. You guys are sitting at your radios, so please don't throw anything at your radios. Do you know, it's a phrase that used to make me cringe. It's a phrase that's going to make a lot of the kids cringe already this week. And if it doesn't want your kid to throw something at you and yell "get out," then you're one of the lucky ones. You're obviously one of those obnoxiously cheerful morning people that the rest of us resent. How often have we heard the term "rise and shine"? And I know many parents out there in the mornings are going, "Hey kids, rise and shine, time for school," and we will hear all sorts of things being thrown. "Hey Ross, it's time to rise and shine. Breakfast is ready. Come on, get your school uniform on." I hate it those days, do you know? And it's those days, like during the summer holidays, it's great because, do you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, we're all rising and shining. We're out in the streets playing. We're doing whatever we have to do. We're staying up late. Tiredness isn't a problem. But as all parents know, that night before school starts again, they know those dreaded words are going to come. They know their kids aren't going to feel like much like rising and shining. Who's with me on that? But in this particular phrase, "rise and shine," traces its roots back to the passage before us in Isaiah 60. So this is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 2. And it's in all the Christian Bibles, this one. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." And this passage is a contrast in fortunes. It contrasts the wonderful new day of light and the glory that is coming with the night of great darkness that this world must pass through to get there. And if we're honest with each other, and I'm hearing it on the street and people talk to me on the street, how dark is the world getting? How difficult is the world getting? It seems that there's a darkness coming over the land. And we have the hope in Jesus Christ. And arise and shine is God's wake-up call to Jerusalem, because a new day is dawning for Israel. The light is not from the sun, but from the glory of God shining on the city. God's glory had once dwelt in the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34-38, only to depart because of Israel's sin in 1 Samuel 4:21. God's glory then came into the temple, but it departed when the nation turned to idols. The glory came to Israel in the person of Jesus Christ, but the nation nailed that glory to a cross. And today's God's glory dwells in his church. It's meant to dwell within his church and his people individually. But one day soon, his glory will be revealed to the earth when he answers his people's prayer, "Thy kingdom come." And I want to encourage you this morning, arise and shine as God's call for us today. If you're a believer, if you're a church goer, don't matter what church you go to, the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of Ireland, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, any Christian non-denominational church in Cork, the call for you today is to arise and shine. God is calling you. He's coming into your room and he's saying, "Hey, arise and shine, it's time." To find the context of the scripture, we have to read the surrounding passage. So what do we see? We see at the end of Isaiah chapter 59 that Jesus is coming. He put on his helmet of salvation, his breastplate of righteousness, and his garments of vengeance. A redeemer will come to Zion, and he means business. The context of this verse then is the climax at the end of this age leading to the Lord's return and a whole new day that subsequently will dawn for this world. And now we're talking about Isaiah's time. We are now in that time where we're at the climax at the end of the church age, leading to the Lord's return, and a whole new day will dawn for this world. Are you ready? Isaiah 60:1-6, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Who is the you in this passage? Who is this passage addressed to? It's addressed to Zion, a name in its context for the city of Jerusalem. The prophet Zechariah said that God would make Jerusalem a burdensome stone that the nations would stumble over. Turn on the news and what do you see? It's that old thorny issue of Jerusalem again, and I'm talking about today. The Palestinians want it. Islam wants it. The Jews obviously see it as their capital, even if the rest of the world won't acknowledge that. The nations have fought over it for centuries. Jesus said, "And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Well, Isaiah saw the time when that was in the past. He saw a time when it would shine. Why? Because the glory of the Lord would rise upon it. That is the Lord Jesus himself. He is the light. "For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon it, and his glory will appear upon you." The conditions leading up to this great new day will be one of darkness, though. And we've got to ask, is this darkness described physical or spiritual? And it's both. There's a physical darkness over the earth when Jesus returns, and there's a spiritual darkness upon the people. And we can see that in today's world. We can see a darkness over the land. We can see the grips of addiction grabbing hold of people. You know, the devil comes to seek and destroy. And that's what's happening through addiction. There's a physical darkness over the earth when Jesus returns. And there's a spiritual darkness over the people. And I mean, I've been on the streets here in Yall, and I've been asking people, do they go to church? What church do they go to? Do you know? And most of them identify as, you know, as Catholic, but don't go to church. And I asked the people, why don't you go to church? And the number one answer was, I'm not like them. I'm not liking them. I wouldn't be holy like them in there. And I said to them, I said, they're not holy, they're broken. They're people crying out to God, looking for help. And it's such a time as this that we need to turn to Jesus. We need to turn to our church, and we need to get on our knees and pray. It's into such a climate that Jesus will shine his glory, the glory of his divine presence. The nations will come to your light, all kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. In a number of places, Bible prophecy tells us that the nations will go up to Jerusalem year after year to see the King of Kings during the millennium. And this scripture says that the remaining scattered remnant of Israel, the Jews, will also return. It's a prophetic scripture that also tells us that the wealth of the nations and the sea shall be turned over to Jerusalem. In verse 6, a multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praise of the Lord. I don't know if anybody's read the Queen of Sheba's journey, 2,000 kilometres in the back of a camel, to come and see the fame and wisdom of Solomon. While Solomon's wisdom and the glory of his kingdom is a type of the coming Messianic kingdom when Jesus reigns and rules from Jerusalem. And it's not surprising that we read on the same things happening again. We read of the coming from Midian and Sheba again coming to Jerusalem. And we note that they bring gold, frankincense, just as the wise men brought when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Gold and frankincense, but no myrrh is mentioned. I'm going to ask you a question. Why is that, do you think? Feel free to write into the station and answer that. Why is no myrrh mentioned? Light and darkness is in the New Testament. So, I've just given you a short synopsis of the prophetic interpretation of Isaiah 61-6. Is the coming of the Lord and the glory of his kingdom in Jerusalem during the millennium. But let's go back to the start of the imagery used in the first few verses. Are descriptive of eternal themes right throughout the entire Bible, and especially so in the New Testament. So what are those themes, you ask? The themes of light and darkness and the glory of the Lord. If we look at a general passage early in the New Testament that brings in these themes of light and darkness, Luke chapter 1, verses 78-79, because of his tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus' first coming is likened to the sunrise, and Jesus himself is called the sunrise from on high. For centuries, both Israel and especially the Gentile nations had been in darkness, spiritually speaking. The Bible had been quiet for over 400 years, from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew. But the coming of Jesus signified the dawn of a new day, just as it will when he returns a second time. You know, Terminator wasn't the first person to say, "I'll be back." Jesus said it first. It was a fulfillment of another prophetic passage in Isaiah that said, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." He was the sunrise from on high. Now, when you first come to know Jesus, the same thing occurs. The light shines in the darkness of our own lives, and in that light you can see. You can see yourself for what you are. You can see the Lord Jesus for who he truly is. You can see the purpose for life. You no longer have to come to the end of your life not knowing why it began. God declared, "Let there be light." In the life of every born-again Christian, and there was light, and that light was good. And I hope you've experienced that. So I'm just going to give a few general scriptures concerning this. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And we need to continue to walk in his light. 1 John 1:5-7 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light and he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all sin." And this becomes very much important in the last days, not only for ourselves, but for those around us as well. For our text in Isaiah 60 told us that as we approach the end of the age, gross darkness will cover the peoples. In Isaiah 61, is Isaiah 61 used in the New Testament? And it's interesting to see where this Bible verse is quoted and the way in which it's used. Paul uses it without directly quoting it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18-17. "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the world. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord." But all things become visible when they are exposed by light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul is reminding his readers that there were once darkness. Note, he doesn't say that you were once in darkness. No, he says the problem is worse than that. You are darkness. You were darkness. Maybe you've met someone in your life where you thought, he's not just darkness, he is darkness. Well, that's a description from God's point of view before the light shines in our hearts. Now, we are the light. So let's continue to walk in his light and you will shine. Verse 14 to 17 tells us to wake up, rise, and Christ will shine on you. If you say you're a Christian and claim the name of Christ, then your life should reflect something of him. So let me ask you, is your life reflecting something of him? Is your life reflecting the sacrifice he paid for you on that cross? But sometimes we all fall into a spiritual slumber. We go through the motions and fill out our lives with many things apart from Jesus. Jesus is just for Sunday. Jesus is just for a Saturday evening. We'll just give Jesus 1 hour a week. And sometimes it's not easy to tell if we are slumbering. The command here, and it is based on Isaiah 61, is to wake up, rise, and shine. We need to take toll of the dark days in which we live and seek out the Lord and live for him. We pray it now, Father, thy will be done. Not your will, but his will. Discover what his will is in your life. Arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. So let's finish with let's answer the question, why should we arise and shine? And there are 4 points come to mind. For it says, your light has come. Jesus Christ is our light, has come, he came, he died, he rose again. He has already won the victory on the cross, and all sin has been paid for. We are on the winning side. More than enough reason to live for him and shine. Point number 2, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Jesus has given his life to you. His presence is with you and in the believer, and this makes all the difference. There's no way we can shine without him. But we no longer have to be trapped in the frustration of living with only our own resources. And because naturally we all fail, but we can shine through his life in us. We have a friend in the family who's a Christian, but is living in a lot of fear. It's really become a phobia, really. She has been told by her family, also Christian, that is just how she is and it'll always be that way. Nothing will ever change. And that is what she believes, so she lives in this fear that controls a large part of her life. But that's not how it's meant to be. We all have fears, but we are meant to throw in the towel and live in fear? Or is there a new hope and opportunity to rise and shine because of the Lord's presence in our life? Of course there is. The third reason to arise and shine is because people are in darkness. Actually, deeper, gross darkness to be exact. Remember this passage, prophetic of the end of age. Darkness will cover the earth. There's a lot of darkness hovering over the society today. There's a lot of darkness hovering over the horizon, morally, spiritually, financially, emotionally. In so many areas, there's darkness of despair hovering over this world. The one good thing is, the darker it becomes, the easier it is to see the light. And as Isaiah said in the previous chapter, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And the final reason to rise and shine is the result. Gentiles shall come to your light. The light attracts not just moths. The light attracts people. People want to see something that is real. Although someone has said, some people change their ways when they see the light, others when they only feel the heat. And it is going to get harder. I've read a few of the godly old authors from the 100, 200 years ago, like Spurgeon, Bunyan, Moody, Ironside, etc. And they often bemoan the conditions in the earth and the heart of man in their time. Well, what would they think if they were instantly resurrected into our day? John Vernon McGee on Dispersing Darkness writes, Darkness is not driven away by preaching at it. Darkness is dissipated by the presence of light. There are too many Christians who take the critical method or the preaching method. They try to correct an unsafe person by saying, you shouldn't be doing that. My friend, that is not the way to approach the darkness. You are to be the light. You see, you are not able to win a person to Christ by lecturing to him and telling him what is wrong. You are not to try to get the unsafe man to change his conduct. He cannot change his conduct. He needs to be born again in order to change. Billy Graham has a tremendous saying. He said, God's job is to judge. The Holy Spirit is to convict. My job is to love. We're supposed to shine for Jesus. The scripture tells us to rise and shine. We are supposed to witness. Paul reassures the Ephesians that if we make the first effort towards Jesus, he will shine upon you. Remember that darkness is not overcome by lecturing or preaching. Darkness is overcome by light. And that is what is required in this morally corrupted and difficult age. If you're a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ and you're a churchgoer, do other people know that? If Jesus would come back today and he walked by, would he see your faith in him? Are you shining for him? Because this town needs you. This town needs your light. This town needs you to point people to Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have the light, but those around us are in darkness. We have resources, but no understanding how to distribute those resources. We are accountable, but often live irresponsibly. Lord, now is the time for your light to shine. Now is the time for you to shine brightly into our lives. Get rid of every dark blot in our hearts. Remove all those things that are used to block your light from shining in our souls in its full glory. This is the time for the light to shine forth in tremendous, glaring light into this dark world. We must wait no longer. We must take responsibility that we have failed the world in bringing the light to them. We must now arise and shine. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Amen. And I just want to finish with a benediction that I've plagiarised for today. And I really do pray that whoever's listening this morning, that you get uncomfortable. That you get really uncomfortable. Tom's sitting across here now laughing at me. That you sit in your seat and you're getting so uncomfortable that you have to go and tell somebody about Jesus. That you go say, hey, this is what Jesus did in my life. Not to preach at them. People want reality. People want to see how Jesus worked in your life. They want to see, they want somebody to preach at them. They just want to say, hey, I was in trouble and I prayed and God did this for me. I was in trouble. I went to church. I sat down and I left it there in the church. And guess what? God solved it for me. They're the stories. The Bible tells us by the word of our testimony. So Christians out there, I want you to arise and shine. And I'm going to pray right now that you get uncomfortable until you do so. Lord, grant us the wisdom to recognize the opportunities for growth within the challenges we faced. In the midst of life's storms, may we find refuge in your embrace. And in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. You are the anchor that holds us steady, the light that guides us through the darkest moments and the source of unwavering hope. And we place our trust in you and we're reminded of the promise in Isaiah 40:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar in wings like eagles. And now may the Lord make you uncomfortable and keep before you the faces of the hungry, the lonely, the homeless, the widow, the orphan, the refugee, the rejected and the despised. May the Lord place a burden for the hurt, the wounded, the oppressed, the abused, the addicted, the victims of violence. May God grace you with a burning thirst for righteousness and justice. May the Lord give you courage, strength and compassion to make our world a better world, our community a better community, our church a better church. May you do your best to make it so. And when may Almighty God, who makes all things possible, when we have done your best, grant us peace. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, Amen. I'm Ross from Bad Boy Turn Good Ministry. You want to know more, visit our website, badboyturngood.org, and I'll talk to you all again shortly. God bless you.
you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in a mist. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Hey, we make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Hey, we make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Hey, we make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all. Jesus, you wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all. To it all. I worship you. You are here meeting every need. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, devotion, day, I'm a Zekeyan.